He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
COVID-19 has hit many industries hard, and the closing of our borders to keep the virus at bay has dashed the dreams of many immigrants. In this episode of Voices, Liz Garten meets some au pairs who spent 2020 with Kiwi families and finds out what the future holds for this sector which relies on international travel.
I could stay longer for my feeling, how I feel here, being here, but I really want to go home and see my friends again and start studying.
Luisa Kreisel is from Hanover in Germany. She arrived in New Zealand in 2019. It was to be a dream working holiday before settling down to a career.
I actually really liked the country and I wanted to do something with kids. So, yeah, I was Googling a little bit around.
That Google search led her to au pairing, and she's had a blast.
Yeah, I love it. It's really cool, yeah.
But like everyone worldwide, COVID-19 has had an impact.
I mean, through the lockdown, I was spending much more time with my host family than I did before. I couldn't catch up with friends. I was spending all my weekends with them too. I just couldn't travel as much anymore.
Luisa looks after two kids, a four-year-old and a seven-year-old.
The biggest challenge that we experienced, my host family and me, through lockdown was to entertain them both at the same time, because my boy, he's going to school, so he has to go do schoolwork at home. And my little girl, she's not doing school, so she's playing around.
Luisa tried teaching.
Very tricky. And so my host mum took over that part a little bit more.
She wouldn't say her friends were jealous she was in New Zealand, but there were some definite perks to being here as the pandemic swept through Europe.
Because I can just still travel, and especially when I did my camper trip with my friends in July, they were all stuck at home and had summer, but couldn't really do a lot of things. So I think, yeah, I have more freedom between those lockdowns than they do.
But despite thousands of daily cases of COVID-19 in Germany, Luisa's peers are very relaxed.
They're all still travelling through Europe. I have a lot of friends in Spain and Italy at the moment. And they still all work, go to school, so they are not really that much influenced, I think. I mean, they have to wear masks and everything, but not as much as here.
The pandemic has also resulted in Luisa staying here for longer than she intended.
Yeah, the plan was that I'm going to stay for 11 months, and now we extended my visa for a whole another year, so I'm probably going to stay until April next year, though.
Morgan Holyoake, CEO of Au Pair Link, which matched Luisa up with her Kiwi family, says that's a silver lining in an otherwise disastrous time for the industry.
I think one of the good things that's come of this is the opportunity to actually extend your visa and be able to stay in New Zealand longer is very hard. You know, we've had probably like four au pairs do it in the 9 years I've worked for the company. So that's kind of like a little silver lining, isn't it, really? It's like you get to explore a bit more of New Zealand or be more part of our culture for longer.
Yeah, I think. And I think you're getting a little bit more used to all these traditions and everything what's happening here, and you kind of, get a bigger part of it.
Luisa's also picked up a bit of extra work.
Yeah, I'm going to my friend's host family. She left in August before the second lockdown. And yeah, I'm going to just help them out, pick up the kids from school and do the afternoon.
She's becoming a bit of a rare commodity. And Morgan Holyoake, who gives me the impression of being someone who's usually full of energy and optimism, she paints a grim picture of what the pandemic has done to the industry.
We had au pairs stuck in Rarotonga on trips during lockdown. We had au pairs stuck in Australia who couldn't get back in, but they were living here, you know. So it was definitely, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? And all hands on deck to kind of get through that carnage. Once that settled down and we realised this was going to be our new norm for a bit, it was a sort of how we can help Kiwi families with their childcare, and not everyone can put their children in daycare and kindergarten. You know, we have dairy farmers, we have doctors, we have police officers, shift workers, and so it was a scramble to see how we could help with the current, you know, workforce, which unfortunately hasn't been picked up at all. We've managed to do a few placements here and there, but our next focus has been with these guys is trying to extend. We've had sort of a handful of families and au pairs be successful so far, but it's a lot of paperwork, isn't it? You know, how long does it take you? It took 5 months?
Yeah, I applied in March and I got my answer in August, so I probably waited 5 months. Yeah.
So for 5 months, her family, host family and herself, were unsure whether she was going to be able to extend and stay and work here and support the family. So, yeah. yeah, that's kind of where we're at now, waiting for any announcement, any suggestion of when the border might open again. I know it can't necessarily tomorrow, but the uncertainty is just so hard for everyone.
One other workaround Morgan is looking at is whether au pairs could be considered essential workers.
How they've positioned it and how the wording is done for the legislation is that the family is the critical worker and they will not see the au pair as the critical worker. So we've got a couple of families who are trying that now, who are essential workers and are seen as critical workers, and trying to argue that without my live-in childcare, I can't fulfil my role as a critical essential worker as such. So they're trying that, but it's not been approved yet or passed.
It wouldn't make a huge difference to Morgan's business, but it could make a big difference to some families.
We place between 400 and 600 au pairs a year, and of that, all those families are definitely not critical or essential workers, but a good sort of 30% of our families are. You know, farmers who are up at 4 a.m. dairy, you know, in the dairy industry. So they're about 30% of our families would fall into that category. So even if we could get those through, because other families can come up with some other ideas and solutions, but some of them can't, and they're having to quit their jobs, and that's not really what you want to be doing in a economic crisis.
No. Oh, gosh.
The other huge argument has been, you know, give the jobs to Kiwis. Why aren't you giving it to Kiwis? Which is exactly what we've been trying to do, and help any New Zealander that wanted a job right now could give me a call and I'd have them a job in any town in Auckland. But they don't want to live in, you know, they've already got home arrangements.
I spoke to both the Minister of Immigration's office and the Ministry and was told there's a list of essential sectors who can apply for workers to come in. It's generally things like horticulture and healthcare workers. It's not au pairs. But they are apparently always looking at and revising these lists. For Morgan, it's that uncertainty that's really brutal.
These are circumstances no one's ever been in before, but I think everyone knows they can't stay closed forever. So what's best case scenario? What's worst case scenario? Is that 2 months, 3 months, 8 months, 10 months? You know, is there something we can work towards? Because some businesses in New Zealand need to pull the plug and move on. Or can we drag it out? Can we claw through? You know, the amount of redundancies I've already made in my team. Can I hold on to what I've got and get through to March or April next year? Awesome, if I can. But if it's not going to happen for a year, then I need to pull the plug. So I think that's sort of where we're at. And a lot of tourism and other industries that are affected by the borders being closed, it's just having some support and some guidelines of what that might look like. And we've had nothing. So, and no reach out from anyone as well, which has been really tough.
And it's tough on families too.
I like it here, and I really, really like my host family. Like, we really got attached to each other, and it's like a second family now. But
this is Yula Riggers. She's also from Germany and has managed to extend her visa too.
My host family got me to get a new visa, and I'm staying till the beginning of December now.
Oh, so it's only a short...
Yeah, it is, because I want to be home by Christmas.
But she's a bit worried about where that leaves her host family.
Yeah, they're trying to get a new au pair, but obviously it's kind of hard since the borders are all closed, so they got to look for a Kiwi au pair. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, they don't quite know yet what to do. So it's hard.
This is Yula's second stint au pairing. She did a year in the States after school, then did a degree in food technology. But she wanted one more adventure before settling down to work.
I was like, before I start real life, I need to go look at the world.
The thing is, au pairing is more than a full-time job.
I get up in the morning. I usually start working at 8, and then the kids are usually already dressed, so I just make breakfast and make their lunch boxes for the day and just prepare some things, like clean up the kitchen if that's not done yet, and then I get them to school or kindy. If Ava's going to kindy, she's going 3 days a week, and then if they are both at school and kindy, I basically have free time till 2:30 before I need to pick up Ava and Lockie again. And if not, like today, we usually have ballet on Wednesdays and Fridays, so I gotta take Ava to ballet, and then we're having a little nap sometimes, sometimes not, sometimes just playing, and then making lunch, picking up Lockie, playing like for 1.5 hours, then it's bath time, dinner time, and that's my day.
It's a very long day. As a mother, I know this day. I know this day well. And you're at a fun stage, aren't you, with the maybe sleeping, maybe not sleeping. I remember
sometimes
that
just
one.
Playing in the bed. Getting all the toys out of the toy box into the bed.
We're talking to, or really about, Ava. That's Yula's 4-year-old charge. And she also watches over 6-year-old Lachlan. Her love for the kids is obvious, and there are other perks to being an au pair here.
Highlights are definitely the beaches and the ocean. That's so close, and I love the water, and I got my diving certificate here too, and I'm just all over the water. And yeah, just the nature, that's everything's like so close together. Like, you have snow and beach, it's just like an hour away basically, so it's great. I do come from the coast, but our ocean is more like brown, green, and not as pretty as here, so I really enjoy the clear water here, it's great.
But Yula is keen to get home now.
Like, the first time when we went in lockdown, you know, I obviously heard about COVID before, but I didn't knew it was that serious. And when we got like straight into lockdown, I was like, oh, this is serious. And then it all like came down and I was like, oh no, I need to go home. Like, I'm so far away, but you can't go home. So it was kind of weird.
The ongoing uncertainty and a longing to see family and friends again are driving both Yula and Luisa to get back to Germany. But leaving is bittersweet. Here's Luisa again.
The last 2 years I spent with them nearly every day, and it's just going to be really hard to get back to all my life and back in Germany that I paused.
And the future for au pairs in New Zealand?
So all the au pairs who are meant to arrive between end of March when the borders closed to now, a lot of them have cancelled or changed their plans or have decided to go to university, or some of them are still waiting because they can't, even universities haven't started back up, some of them. So there's still, you know, 50% of them really keen to come but just waiting. You know, some of them have already got working holiday visas, already got jobs and employment here, and they're just waiting.
This episode of Voices was produced by Liz Garten and engineered by Alex Aylett McMillan. You can find Voices and all RNZ podcasts through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Thank you for listening to Voices.